Good morning. Bear with me while I get my computer turned on. I'd like to welcome everybody here. A lot of people traveling. We have visitors both who are here with us, and we have members that are out of town. So I'm glad to see everyone here who can make it this morning. I prepared some thoughts for us to consider. Too loud, Ron? It's okay? Too loud? Okay, all right. Thanks, Doc. So this morning, I wanted to start by considering the Christians that were addressed in the book of Revelations. These Christians at that time found themselves in a situation where persecution was every day and extreme. So let's consider some of the hardships that they were facing. One of them was the fact that their livelihoods were being threatened. They could not sell their products. They couldn't participate in commerce. Oftentimes, they could not buy products, which meant they had a difficult time providing for their families. All of this because they would not participate in the Roman idolatry that was present at that time. Beyond that, there were psychological hardships they faced as well. They were being bullied in their communities. They were being threatened. Their family members were threatened. And the goal of that was to keep these Christians living in constant fear. Beyond that, there were also the physical hardships. These Christians were beaten. Some were tortured. And some were killed. So, under these circumstances, how could these Christians hope to remain faithful to God? Within the message that Jesus revealed to John, we find answers. The message that John records from God to these Christians was to be a tool to help them endure and even to overcome. An important part of that message was the perspective that God provided to them. They needed to know that those circumstances, those hardships, were temporary. They also needed to know that the reward for their faithfulness was eternal. And that perspective would allow them to endure. And so the goal of the book of Revelation is to remind the believer that the life we see on earth is not reality. Revelations warns of the deception of the evil one who tries to convince us that we should invest wholly in this life. The book also highlights the truth and glory of God's eternal plan and purpose. And finally, it encourages the believer to be a faithful witness to Jesus right until the end, to live a life that is eternally rewarded. So this morning, I want us to consider what I'm going to be referring to as the long view. That long view being that this existence we are in now is temporary, and that God's view, the long view, is the perspective that includes eternity. So, we'll be taking a look this morning at our perspective. So, I want to start by defining what is perspective. The dictionary definition is the capacity to view things in their true relationships or relative importance. And really, you can summarize that even further and just focus on three words: true relative importance. That's what perspective is. Now, there are many components of perspective that we could look at, but today I want to look at that time component of perspective. For the first century Christians who were in the Roman Empire, the challenge was to determine the true relative importance of the events that were before them, to recognize the persecutions as temporary hardships, and to recognize heaven as the eternal reward. And that's what I'm calling the long view. Well, how important is this long view to Christians? I'd like to look at a few examples of what the long view is and what sometimes the world considers the long view to be in contrast. So we'll start with a worldly example. And I want to look for a moment at the modern-day Olympic athletes. Consider them that they start at a very young age often, sometimes maybe only 5 or 6 years old. They devote their lives to their event. And it would seem in the eyes of the world that they are taking a long view because they're looking far ahead towards a goal. They're denying self, they're depriving themselves, they're working hard, and they're looking ahead to a goal that's several years in the future. And after years of this preparation, they appear at the games, oftentimes late teens, oftentimes early 20s, occasionally as old as their 30s. In any case, these are athletes in the prime of their lives. They're skilled, they're strong, and they're determined. And in that moment, they represent the best in the world. And that is the point of the games. We're looking at these examples of what humanity can achieve. And if they're good enough, if they are the best in the world, then they win the prize. And they're celebrated. Oftentimes they're revered. If you follow the games, like many of us do, we see these moments of victory, and we freeze in our mind's eye that image of them in their prime, in that moment of victory, and that's how we remember these people. And so years later, we think about that athlete, we still see that person who's just accomplished something incredible and is really in the prime of their life. But sometimes, years later, we see them for what they are today, and we don't always recognize them very easily. We might say, is that Carl Lewis? Is that Mary Lou Retton? Is that Dorothy Hamill? They don't always look the same. They have aged. They don't always look like that primed athlete that we had last recalled. And we see now that they are mortal. And we may even think to ourselves, you know what? I could beat him in a 100-yard dash. It's because of our lack of perspective in the brevity of life on earth, that this realization, this contrast between what we recall of them in their prime and what they really are today, can be so shocking. Their long-term goal has been accomplished, and life continues. They age and decline as all of us do, and no amount of accomplishments or glory changes that. And that, thinking about that, reminds me of a Bible example of somebody who we may have considered as taking a long view, and yet they were chastised for not taking a long view. And this is the parable that Jesus relates in Luke chapter 12. So I'm going to start there this morning in Luke 12. I'm going to read the parable that Jesus provides, starting in verse 16. Luke 12, verse 16. And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a certain rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? And he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Looking at this man's problem, he faced a real problem. He didn't have enough place, didn't have enough room to store his goods. He had been productive. And so he had a multi-part plan. Step one was to demolish his old barns. Step two was to build new, bigger barns. And step three was to fill them with his future harvest, his future goods. That's a multi-year plan to me, and that seems to be a long-term goal. That is the long view. But one of the lessons we learn from this story that Jesus tells is that any future plans that focus entirely on what we can accomplish in this world is not the long view and is foolishness. We have other examples in the Bible of people who have a distorted view. And just a few chapters over in Luke 15, Jesus tells another story, this time about the prodigal son. Now, we're not going to read that this morning. Time is limited. But I trust that you're familiar with the parable of the prodigal son. And we have here, if you'll recall, a young man whose perspective was distorted. He lived like the moment he was in would be lasting. He had no regard for the realization that time on earth is fleeting, and the pleasures of this earth are fleeting. So we see in the story what this perspective led him into. We also have in the Bible recorded for us another young man, and we can contrast the prodigal son with this young man, and that is in the story of Moses. If you'll recall, Moses had the opportunity as a young man to pursue what would seem to be a lifetime of pleasure, living in the royal family of one of the world powers. And you think about, from a man's perspective, what could be more lasting than that? Hebrews chapter 11, 24 and 25 provides us some insight, though, on how Moses viewed that opportunity. So in Hebrews 11, 24, we read, "By faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin." This is a complete contrast with the prodigal son. So it turns out that the long view is very important in the Christian lifestyle. So much so that the Bible gives us a lot of reminders, and it's full of examples and warnings. So, why the need for reminders on this topic? Why do we struggle with this perspective? It seems that mankind, has a tendency to focus on the right now. It's what we know, it's where we have certainty, and it requires no faith from us because it's everything that we can sense. From our normal perspective, we do have a lot of important things that require our immediate attention. Most of us here have jobs. Some of us here have school. We all have families. There are community responsibilities. And there are relationships that we're trying to build. And the Bible encourages us to attend to those things. And yet, God has a very different perspective than the right now. And that perspective is eternal. Psalms chapter 90 gives us a glimpse of God's perspective. It captures God's long view and the contrast with man's view. So we can read, even in the first 10 verses of Psalm 90, some of that perspective. "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or thou didst give birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou dost turn man back into dust, and dost say, Return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or like a watch in the night. Thou hast swept them away like a flood, they fall asleep. In the morning they are like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning it flourishes and sprouts anew, toward evening it fades and withers away. For we have been consumed by thy anger, and by thy wrath we have been dismayed. Thou hast placed our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy presence. For all our days have declined in thy fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow. For soon it is gone, and we fly away. The writer here speaks of this long-term perspective. But he also captures for us the need for us taking the long view. And we see this in verse 12, where the writer says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom." To not correctly number our days, to put the right perspective on our lives, as is referenced here, is foolishness. And we're warned here against such foolishness. You know, there are similar passages in the New Testament, and ones we often reference when talking about God and the passage of time. This is, of course, in 2 Peter chapter 3. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 8, we read, "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." You know, it's clear that God does not have the same view of time as we do. His eternal nature means that time is meaningless. And it's also clear, though, that he has incredible patience. And that's a trait that we often lack. His view of time makes that patience possible. He has the long view. And this passage brings up how his patience affects his promises. And we can see this demonstrated through the Bible. And I want to use just one example this morning. And this is the example from the life of Abraham. Recall the promises made to Abraham. Recall also that when these promises were made to him, Abraham was a fairly young man. So we observe here patience with Abraham, because God took a man who had not yet shown the full measure of a faithful character. Abraham was not fully yet developed in his faith when these promises were made. And that was okay that Abraham was a flawed man, because God had time. God was patient and allowed time for Abraham to develop. And of course, eventually Abraham does develop. And he develops into such a character of faith that we are reading about him even now today. And he's what we consider one of the heroes of faith. Look at the promises that God made to Abraham. These were big scale promises. That his descendants would be as numerous as the stars. That those descendants would go on to form their own nation and have their own land to possess. And finally, that the whole world would be blessed from Abraham's offspring. Think about the time scale required to fulfill those promises. None of that happened in Abraham's lifetime. None of it happened in Abraham's son's lifetime. If you fast forward for 5 generations, about 200 years, his descendants have now become slaves in a faraway nation. For God, it's not a problem. They'll be slaves for 400 years. God still has time. Eventually, God recovers these descendants. He brings them out of slavery. But they're not yet. They even then lack the faith to obey the commands related to the fulfillment of that land promise. Again, for God, not a problem. Gives him 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. He still has time. These descendants eventually do take possession of that land. But they turn away from God and follow idols. God gives them 70 years in captivity. There is still time. It's 2,000 years later from the time when God originally made that promise to Abraham until Jesus comes to earth to bless all mankind. God can afford to be patient. He has the long view. He has the eternal nature. But man has a challenge in this. Challenge for us is to live in the today while looking to eternity. That was the same challenge that the first century Christians being persecuted by Rome were facing. The temporary nature of their situation was important to understand. Yes, the Roman government had power over them, power over their lives, but it was temporary. You ever notice the time references in the book of Revelation? Not the 1,000 years or the references to time, times, and half a time, but the relative time references that he gives them. In chapter 1, verse 1, he tells these Christians, these things will shortly take place. In chapter 1, verse 3, he says, the time is near. In chapter 6, verse 11, the Christians are told to wait a little longer. Chapter 22, verse 6 and verse 7, these things must shortly take place, and I am coming quickly. And also, the same chapter, verse 20, I am coming quickly. This was important language, helping them to understand the true relative importance regarding time, putting time for them in the proper perspective. It's encouraging language with the purpose to strengthen their resolve to faithfulness and endurance. But it's not only first century Christians who need this perspective. Other faithful servants of God throughout time have struggled and have needed reminders. We know this to be the case because we have recorded for us in the Bible these instances. David himself requests of God to be granted this type of perspective. We see this in Psalm 39. In Psalm 39, verses 4 through 8, I'll read just an excerpt of what David recorded here. O Lord, make me know my end and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. Surely a man goes about as a shadow. Surely, for nothing, they are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather. And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions and do not make me the scorn of the fool. Even as a king and as a man who was focused on God and God's message, David acknowledges the need for that perspective. He acknowledges really the tendency to lose that focus. Because of our difficulty maintaining that perspective, just like David, the Bible has provided clarity on that subject. I'm going to read a few passages here. You might jot these down. We don't have time for many, but this will be a sampling. Job 14, verses 1 through 6. Man who is born of a woman is few of days and full of trouble. He comes out like a flower and withers. He flees like a shadow and continues not. And do not open your eyes on such a one and bring me into judgment with you. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? There is no one. Since his days are determined and the number of his months is with you, and you have appointed his limits that he cannot pass, look away from him and leave him alone, that he may enjoy like a hired hand his day. Psalm 144, verses 3 and 4. O Lord, what is man that you regard him, or the son of man that you think of him? Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. One more to add. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. These verses serve as a sample of the reminders that we find in the Scriptures. You know, as we read these, it's interesting to consider the relationship between perspective, patience, and faith. The relationship between perspective and patience is obvious. Having the long view means that God has time and a desire to allow man to have some time. That's the patience. However, man, in the long view, has a very limited time on earth, as we keep seeing expressed in these passages. So when considering the long view, we realize the brevity of life, the uncertainty of life, and it should lead, while we are here, to a sense of urgency. Time here is limited, and there is much at stake. There's a relationship also between perspective and faith. It takes faith to hold the long view. We can't see beyond our limited years, and we can't see the years that preceded us. We are only getting a glimpse of God's timeline in our short lives. And that is why we find the reminders in the Scripture and the warning. To conclude this morning, I want to point out that a view of our lives that does not include eternity is short-sighted and dangerous. God is eternal and has provided us with the opportunity to be with Him in eternity. But God has set man on His creation for a limited time. I want to go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Earlier we were reading there about Moses, and we left off at verse 25. When we did, we noticed that Moses was making a choice concerning the possibility of living a lifetime in the palace. But he judged that life as fleeting. If you were to keep reading in verse 26, we find out something else. Hebrews 11, verse 26. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. What reward could have been better than a lifetime as a prince? The lasting reward. Not fleeting, but a lasting reward of heaven. It's also possible that this perspective, this long view, helps us perhaps to understand Christ's ability to endure the sufferings associated with the cross, the crucifixion. Certainly, his great love for us allowed him to endure that suffering. But perhaps also, it is that horrible experiences can be endured when they're viewed as of short duration. People get depressed when they don't see an end to their suffering or hardships. If your perspective, however, tells you that the suffering or hardship is of short duration, then you can look ahead to the future and beyond that moment. Now, that being said, we also need to be aware that even the pleasures and prosperity must be viewed in that same perspective, temporary and fleeting. And that is one of the main goals of the book of Revelation. It's a message we still need today. Now, this morning, Lucas has led us in songs that if you noticed the theme, they were of a look towards heaven and eternity. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. He's going to lead us into one more song in just a moment. And I hope this morning's reflection on Scripture regarding our place in time has been beneficial. Our time here is short, so let us be about doing God's will so we can be with Him in eternity. We'll stand at this time.